101.9 High FM, One Nation, One Station.
Joining us on the line is a founder of the Hatch Institute, Ian F. Ian, of course, also known as being one of the founder of the Sorbet Group. But today we're going to be talking about the Hatch Institute, which is focused on ending racism in business as an economic imperative. Ian, a very good morning to you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning.
Hi, good morning, Howard. Thanks for that.
So tell us about the Hatch Institute. When was it born? When was it hatched? What is, give us a bit of a overview.
So when I sold the Sorbet business about 18 months ago, you know, I've always been very focused on culture and the people side of business and race relations in particular in business. And then I felt that after I had sold it, I believe that I have a kind of a blueprint for culture in business, which incorporates the socio-political landscape. You know, and most leadership courses, and they will teach you how to deal with people and how to manage people and how to lead them. But we don't always get to fully understand the impact of the socio-political environment and how that affects us in business in terms of our productivity, our service. So it's all about racial polarization at the end of the day. And the Hatch Institute offers a number of different programs that include personal development, race relations, leadership, culture, etc., etc.
So, who is it designed for? Is it designed for businesses wanting to perhaps embrace diversity more? Is it about training entrepreneurs within the black community? What is the main target market?
I think it's a combination of all of those, actually, Howard, because we are looking at individuals, at entrepreneurs, small businesses, and then, of course, the corporate environments as well, where racial polarization is most present at the time. And to get South Africans to understand that if we don't deal with racial polarization, it's going to impact on us in all kinds of ways, as it has over the years. I believe just about every aspect of life in South Africa, personal and business, is impacted by racial polarization. And it's really important that we spend time trying to understand the issues of systemic racism, of white privilege, of black empowerment, etc., so that we can actually move on into the future as opposed to getting stuck and just then and believing that it's all going to just go away by itself. And we need to understand that we need to address these uncomfortable conversations and learn about the impact of systemic racism in the workplace, particularly from a customer service point of view. Because if you can't create a culture in which people have a sense of belonging and feel properly treated, it's highly unlikely that they're going to go out there and serve their customers to the very best of their ability. So the whole thing is about trying to create a culture in which everybody has a sense of belonging, there's a common purpose, and we have what we call culture-driven leadership, which is this particular skill that people need in South Africa to be able to deal with the race issue as well as everything else that goes on in business.
Can you explain a little bit further what you mean by racial polarization? Obviously, the two words we understand, but you give me some context here.
Right. So if we look at business and we look at the history of South Africa, there's been a situation where it was sort of implied white superiority, black inferiority. That was the apartheid system, and that was the mindset that the government tried to implement or inculcate into the mindsets of people, that whites are superior to black. And that is still running through the ages, and even after our turn to democracy, we still have that, particularly in the workplace, where people feel polarized. They don't feel that they're accepted as part of the organization. They don't feel that they're treated fairly or equally. And so it's really important that people understand, particularly leadership understands, why that is, and then to go back and to look at the history of this country and try and understand what has happened here. You know, and what does white privilege actually mean? Because these are the things that separate us in the world, as opposed to trying to find the things that we share, the values that we share, and then sort of covering the cracks of our past. We need to unpack what's happened in the past and how it's impacted on us particularly in the workplace, because what happens outside of the workplace, what happens in the socio-political landscape, has a huge impact on what happens inside business, particularly from a point of view of productivity, commitment, customer service, etc., etc. So if you have a polarized workforce where there's no sense of belonging or common purpose, it's highly unlikely that the customer service is going to be great. And the first person to always suffer in that kind of environment is the customer at the end of the day. And that's what we're trying to serve, and that's where we're going wrong at the moment. We focus too much on ourselves and each other rather than on serving the customer. And people need to understand that they come to work to serve, not to make money. Mm. And that if they serve well, they will make lots of money. And that's really what the whole thing is, understanding the purpose of work.
I'm just interested in how we would achieve this inclusivity without certain appointments feeling like they're quota appointments.
I was going to ask you that as well.
Yeah.
To Tizanati's point, I had an incident the other day where we were planning a webinar, and I'm quite cognizant of the fact that a lot of these webinars aren't representative, and I said to the planning group that, you know, there's not enough diversity here. We don't have enough women on the panel. We don't have enough black South Africans on the panel. We need to hear different voices. And somebody on the call, happened to be a white male, said, "What about so and so?" This person, she was actually on the call, and a very brilliant black woman. Mm. And he said, "What about her? You know, we can put her on because, you know, and I was so uncomfortable about it, because what it sounded like, and the reason I said that she's a brilliant black woman is that she was brilliant and she was black, but that wouldn't have been the reason to put her on the panel. I would have put her on the panel because she's got something to offer. But the way in which this guy said it, this woman, I have no doubt, and I called her afterwards to talk about it because it made me uncomfortable. And I said to her, "I want you to know that that wouldn't have been the reason," and it came across that way. And she really appreciates just the fact that we could have the conversation, because she was feeling it but didn't even have the words to express that. What did that mean, that she was going to be on this webinar because she was black and because she was a woman?
Yes, because we do want that representation,
But how do we? And so that's exactly, I think, the point, Donati, that you're making. Mm. Ian, what's your thoughts on that?
We need to understand that we can't have a situation where we don't see color. A lot of people now, particularly white, say, "Why do we need to think about the past, and can't we move on, and let's all just, you know, treat everybody the same, and I don't see color, I just see people." That's all nonsense, because we do see color. This country has been built around color. Everything that happens in this country has something to do with race. Yeah. So we do need to understand that at the end of the day, we need to redress the past. What tends to happen is you say, "Why do we need to, I mean, can't we just compete equally now? This is the new democracy. Everyone has equal opportunities." But that's not true. We don't have equal opportunities in this country, particularly at the sort of middle to lower levels of the income groups in South Africa. So we do need to recognize that sometimes black people must be involved. They must be given an opportunity. Because if we just say to people, you know, "It's just equal for everybody, may the best man win for this opportunity," for example, then what are we going to do? We're just going to be perpetuating the status quo. So black empowerment, for example, is really important in South Africa, because it needs to redress the imbalances that have been created from systemic racism for 300 years, essentially. And a lot of young white people are saying, "But, you know, don't blame me for the sins of my fathers. I wasn't there. I wasn't responsible for apartheid." But that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we do need to understand that unless we start to redress the sins of our past, we're never going to be able to move forward. And all we're going to do is perpetuate the inequality that we have in South Africa at the moment. Such a complex subject, and obviously a controversial one, and not everybody likes what I say. But the point is, we do need to address the past effectively before we can move forward. And that's what's happening in America, and it's happening all over the world as the Black Lives Matter, is that our history has actually contaminated our lives to such a point that unless we deal with it effectively, it's going to be really difficult to move forward in this country, and we're just going to extend the inequality gap at the moment, which is huge already, And now with the pandemic is getting bigger and bigger as well. So we do need to do something fairly drastic if we want to actually see real inclusion and real equal opportunities in this country. We're a long, long way from that.
And in your view, it's really about creating cultures of acceptance and real diversity, I guess.
Correct. And understanding what we call unconscious bias. You know, we all grow up and we learn things from our parents and our schooling and our environments and our friends and all of that type of stuff. And we create what I call a book of rules. And that book of rules dictates how we behave. And there's a lot of unconscious racism that exists within that book of rules. Sometimes we're not even aware of it ourselves, and we don't like to acknowledge it, and we don't like to believe that it's there. But every single person has unconscious bias, whether we like it or not. And then we need to understand the difference between prejudice, discrimination, and racism. So prejudice is basically a prejudgment of a race group from a different race group, just making prejudgments about you because you come from a particular race group. Discrimination is when you act out on your prejudices and you start to actually apply those prejudices in the way that you behave and in the way you run your business. And then racism is when you have the power to discriminate. In other words, you have institutionalized and systemic power where the people in power can use that power to discriminate against other people. So people need to understand what racism really is. And it's not just normal prejudice and it's not just discrimination. It's the use of systemic and institutionalized power to take advantage of one group over another and to act out that superiority.
So again, what's interesting, and we've had this conversation a few times, is what racism actually means, and using that definition, can a black person be racist towards a white person? And on your definition, you actually can't be, because it's about power.
About power, and in particular economic power in South Africa is still pretty much in the hands of the white people. The blacks are in control of government, but the real economic wealth still sits very strongly in the hands of whites. So that is being used in terms of institutionalized and systemic racism. And that's what we have to address, and that's what we need to deal with. So the understanding of racism, effectively, by that definition, means that black people can't really be racist in South Africa. And I know that's a highly controversial issue.
Highly controversial, and yeah, we've certainly had this conversation many times. I actually don't, interestingly enough, although extremely opinionated, I don't really have a view on that. I haven't found a comfort area yet with that definition, because you certainly see many cases, for example, a Julius Malema, who is undoubtedly hateful and negative towards white people.
I guess the question is, when does hate speech become racism?
Well, it can never. And if you use definition,
yeah.
Because although you could also argue that somebody like Julius Malema, although there might have been systemic and institutionalized racism, he certainly is a very powerful person.
Mm.
So therefore, economically and politically, he holds the power.
Mm.
He's much more powerful than we are, or than I am. So therefore, when does that shift? And what is the word then that we use in a situation like that? Ian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we can't ignore the fact that there is that sort of power politically. See, the political power is also an important one, but it can't be equated with what has happened in South
Absolutely
Africa.
In the past.
And it's all very well to say that there's a lot of power, political power and corruption and stuff in this country, and there is without doubt. And it's very sad and it's tragic and it's bringing us down. But at the same time, the corruption of the apartheid government was far worse as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they stole the whole country from black people, never mind just the coffers. They took the country away, they took citizenship away, they took education away, all of which was pure corruption for the benefit of white people against blacks. So we can't just ignore that and say, well, this is happening now. Really, corruption is a factor of power, it's not a factor of race. And what that has happened in the world again now. It's unseen to be able to deal with.
Right. The line has gone fuzzy again, and we are indeed, in fact, out of time. So we are going to leave it there. But really interesting, conversation. If anybody does want to get hold of Hatch, how do they do that?
And they can do that through emailing info@hatchinstitute.co.za, or they can go to the website. And what we do have is we have a race relations course that we're offering to people now, both to the public and to corporates, where people can start to unpack their own unconscious biases and understand race and racism much more clearly.
Very, very interesting indeed. Time is 8:28. That's Ian Fur from talking about ending racism in business in South Africa as an economic imperative. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.